Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Glory to God. We're so glad you're here today. Have you ever had to overcome a trial in your life? Have you ever had to overcome multiple trials in your life? I know I have. But did you have to do it as a child? My guest today is CCO. Now, she's experienced things that most of us cannot even fathom. And she did so starting as a young child growing up in the ghetto. Child abuse, sexual abuse, just to start things off. She was born back in 1958 when segregation, racism, all that was still going strong in America. And she was the child of a white mother and a black father, something that was not socially acceptable in that era, at least not publicly. She was teased and bullied in school because she didn't look like the other kids. But her story is not one that leaves you wondering how she has dealt with life. Her motto is, she is forged by fire. And we're going to get into her story and how she's now working to help others by encouraging them not to give up on life. And she shares the trials of her childhood and growing up with others to give them hope and encouragement. Help me welcome to the program, Cece Owen. Cece, it is such a blessing to speak with you today. Thank you for coming on the program to give hope and encouragement to somebody listening to us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to even be here. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Amen. For those that don't know, we just had revival before we got started. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. You are going to enjoy hearing Cece. The story is tragic. Yes. It's heartfelt. Yes. But her inspiration, oh, glory to God. It is so contagious. Hallelujah. So, Cece, let's start at the beginning. In your own words, tell us, who is Cece Owen?
Cece Owen is a child of God. Cece Owen knows who she is, who she belongs to, and she knows she's here for a purpose, and she knows that she had to go through the trials and tribulations because you can't help somebody if you've never been there and done that.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
Amen.
Yes, now,
your story, let's start way back. Your mother chose to give you back to your father so she could keep her name and her reputation and her inheritance. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's true. Can't blame her for that.
And how did you find that out?
Because it was told to me by the woman that raised me, and by the, I call him my sperm donor. Mm-hmm. And he was very upset that she chose money instead of being with him.
Mm, yeah. Now, from what I read, your father really wasn't all that interested in making sure you're brought up in a proper environment either. Is that right?
That's correct. But when I look back, I've forgiven him and them for all of that because of the time, mm-hmm. of the era, the mindset, and their personal journeys.
Mm.
They all were broken.
And a nurse seen you on the bus and took you in to help raise you?
Well, yeah, I was, the way I was told was that there was a note that was attached to my blanket. And I was left inside the basin so I wouldn't roll over.
Mm.
That's a big old-fashioned kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
And he had me on the bus with him. Well, let me go back to the note. She's your responsibility now, something of this nature.
Oh, from your father or from your mother to your dad?
Yeah, you know. Okay. And I went on a bus with him. And I wasn't properly dressed up north in the wintertime. And it was a nurse that was on the bus. And when she saw how I was dressed And as a small infant, I call her an angel because she said to him, "Excuse me, sir." This is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. "Excuse me, sir. Your child is not dressed properly. Here, let me help you," you know? Yeah, and then a conversation ensued, and she said that she was willing to take care of me, to watch me, to babysit me. And she took me in, and that's where I stayed up until the age of 9 years old, approximately 9 years old.
She took care of you for 9 years then.
Yeah, I didn't see him hardly ever. Once in a blue moon, he would come by and say he's taking me for ice cream. Mm-hmm. And we would go get ice cream. He would bring me back, and I won't see him anymore. But in that home, I was taught how to walk like a lady, how to speak like a lady, mm-hmm. and how to read and how to write. And I loved at that time my mom's technical books, because to me, she was my mom. I didn't know anything else.
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't know she was a nurse. And I'm a kid, but I was drawn to all her chemistry books and biology and stuff like that. And I was really smart in school. I would excel and skip certain grades.
Really? Wow.
So I wanted to be a doctor. Somewhere in science is where I wanted to be. And that's to answer that question. That's where I was.
So what happened at age 9?
Oh, age 9 was a time that it was time for God to move, because I needed to be used. And I had to get taken out of the home by the sperm donor. And I'm speaking because I understand it now, but what happened was I was going for ice cream, but I never returned.
Oh, wow.
And the reason I never returned is because she found someone that she was going to get married to. And he used me as a pawn. And I guess if you can't be with me, then I'm taking her. And this is from what I understand. And that was my first introduction to a bar.
Mm.
That's why I ended up, when he took me out, instead of ice cream, I went to a bar.
Mm.
And I remember sitting on the bar, and it was smoky. It was a bar, you know, a place that I didn't like. I wasn't used to that. So that's where I was. And then we left there, and we was driving to this area. It was dark. I can feel the spirit was heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a child, but I can feel the spirit was heavy. It was dark. And I start seeing ran down homes, apartments, you know, and it was a ghetto, which I had no idea what a ghetto was, but it was a ghetto.
Yeah.
I start seeing kids with nappy hair and snotty nose and diapers that's been on them too long. They should have been taken off. The urine was pulling the diaper down. That's how long these diapers been on. And so I went into this woman's house, and in this woman's house, he introduced me, and he said, "This is your new mom. This is going to be your new mother." And I was totally not understanding that. So I was to be the lady in all circumstances. So I curtsied and said, whatever her name was, you know, "Hello, Kersey. It is nice to meet you." And they talked. He left. When she closed the door, she turned around and she looked at me and she said, "You are trying to be white. You think you're white, don't you?" Speaking like that. And she started to just start punching on me. That was my first day of training.
Wow. Wow. As a 9-year-old.
Yeah. And I was doing my best. I thought, did I not cursey right? Did I not use the proper English? So here I am trying to constantly put on my best because I'm thinking I'm doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I didn't know that it was hatred. It was jealousy of what was going on in history. And I'm bringing that culture into the house, into a ghetto. Because even in school, I became quickly the teacher's pet, which brought on more beatings from kids.
Yeah.
So it was always an uphill battle for just trying just to live and be right.
Wow. Yeah. Amen. So what happened at age 14?
Well, at age 14, I was leaving. I got tired of jumping from one woman's house to another woman's house. Mm-hmm. And how that would happen is he would pick me up, take me somewhere else and say, this is your new mom's house. Mm. And after that, somewhere else, this is your new mom's house. And that last rodeo was my last rodeo, because at this time, there was a martial arts gentleman that was seeing me getting beat up in school and getting beat up at home, going to school with busted eyes, busted lips. But in that time, I guess beating the child half to death is okay, because mm-hmm. they should have been listening to you. So,
wow. So
he saw me and he said, I want you to get into my school. And I didn't understand. I was going to join a gang. So that, because I needed protection.
Okay.
I needed to stop getting beat up at home. I needed to get stopped beating up at school. I needed protection. I needed somebody to speak for me, because I couldn't speak for myself. I was afraid before I even went out of that house and went with the sperm donor, I was afraid of my own shadow. I was a very, very timid child.
Yeah.
So anyhow, what happened at 14 was I was in his martial arts school for about a couple of years. I got to the age of 14. And that last beating was the last beating. What started was I would come in the house and just for, I don't know, kicks and giggles, she would soak an extension cord and just start swinging it at me. Or she would wait till I take a bath and she would come in there with extension cord or a broomstick mm-hmm. or a switch. I mean, she would wake me up in the middle of the night, just start whooping on me.
Wow.
You know, so it got to the point where I was able to have the nerve, to have the audacity to defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't touch her. But I was able to take those things away from her and toss them to the side and still walk my walk. Didn't look at her. If it comes to swinging, I block it, take it away, throw it to the side, and either go into the room that I'm supposed to go into and close the door. It got to that point. And then one night, I've decided that I have had enough. And I pause because God is so good. God is so good, because I took the biggest kitchen knife I could find. And I walked into her bedroom while she's asleep. And I raised the knife to plunge it into her chest as she was asleep.
Mm.
12 o'clock p.m.
But I could not bring that knife out of the air. I am struggling over this woman that is asleep, trying to get the knife out of the air because something is holding my hand where I cannot move it.
Mm. Amen.
So I took one of my hands down and I started looking at my hand and the knife in amazement. Meanwhile, I'm standing over this woman and she's still asleep.
Amen.
And I'm struggling and I look and I'm looking. And then this calmness just came over me. And I brought the knife down. And I just looked at her as she slept. And then that's when I decided to run away. Amen. And I ran and I ran. And there was a song out at that time. And when I used to hear it, I used to burst out crying. Runaway Child Running Wild by the Temptations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I ran and I would run into a fence in an alleyway somewhere and I just slid down and cried. I had no idea where I was going. I had no idea of anything.
Yeah.
So the only thing a kid knows to do is talk to some of the kids that you went to school with that wasn't bullies. So I ended up sleeping in people's basements because up north has basements. I would sleep in their basements, but I had to be out before the parents got up, or I would sleep in those cold cars in the winter.
Mm.
That's a cold, cold sleep in a car in the winter. I had no idea, but that's why I was at. And then the prostitutes would tell me I had to dress, make sure I dress like a boy, so the pimps won't really notice me or see me.
Mm.
And they start feeding me on the street. And they start keeping me away from the pimps or telling me don't go over there or don't go over there or hide over there, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning of my journey on the streets.
Wow.
But let me tell you this. Again, God is so good because my whole life has been a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I knew God. I don't know why I knew God, but I knew through my dreams that I don't know if you call it an anointing or what, but I knew God.
Amen.
So I was walking this one area and walking it because that's what runaways do. They walk and they walk and they walk. So there was a certain area I used to walk in Newark, New Jersey. And God, I said, I want to go to church. I just wanted to go to church, you know, and it was just burning in my spirit. So the Spirit led me to a storefront church. I went inside this storefront church. And I sat in the back of this storefront church, and there would have to be maybe seven people up front. And I never forget this lady with this little white hat on her head. She was having her finger pointing up to the ceiling, and she's tiptoeing back to where I'm at. She comes back there and says to me, "Oh, I'm sorry, but you can't be in here."
Mm.
And I looked at her. And I said, how dare you? You can't tell me. This is my father's house. So people started to look. And she said, but I'm sorry, honey, you can't be here. And I said again, this is my father's house. I can be here. And she said, honey, you don't have the right clothes on. You have to have a dress. You have to have stockings. You have to have heels. You know, you're not dressed to be in a church.
Wow.
And I said it one more time. And when I saw people starting to come my direction, I got up and I left.
Wow.
And outside, I said, God, how can she throw me out of your church? Who do she think she is? I was very angry.
I bet.
So I continue my walk. A week or so later, I'm back in that area again. That church turned into a liquor store.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that's when I stood in front of the place and said, God, I know why you sent me in there. And I'm still a kid. But again, my journey has always been a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Even when I was hungry. Even when I was going through all the trials and tribulations. There's perverts on the street that look for little girls.
Yeah.
And they look for little boys even more now. So I've always knew God. Regardless, I just knew what I knew, what I knew, what I knew, what I knew. Couldn't explain it, but I knew.
Wow. And then at age 18, you tried to get some help from social workers or something like that too, right? But didn't
Well, that was before I turned 18. It was like I was going to be 18 in 2 days or something like that. And I don't know, no laws. I'm not looking for laws. I'm looking for help.
Right.
So I go into, which is Division Youth and Family Services. And I have my little bag with me, you know, my little belongings. And I go in and I guess they're called counselors. One of them spoke to me. And I told her everything. And she says, okay, wait a minute. I'll be right back. She comes back with another woman. I say the exact thing again. Nothing's changed. Nothing. And then they had the audacity to say, when you think of a better story, come back. But because of your age, we can't help you. And I said, but I have nowhere to go. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have no food. You know, I understand I can get some food. I mean, nothing. Wow. They threw me out and locked the door. Mm-mm-mm. And I remember sliding down the door with my bag, busting out in tears because I was done. I was done. Why am I being hated on? I've done nothing to nobody. Nothing. Right. I don't rob, steal, kill. I don't do any of that. Why am I being treated like this? So after I boo-hooed enough and realized that wasn't working to open the door up, I just walked the streets again.
You also became a police officer at one point, right? What inspired you to do that?
Well, the best thing to do is a kid that has no strength in the household, that has no strength, period, is to join something that's strong. So I went to the gangs. I found it my way back to the gangs. And some of the things the gangs were doing was just not who I was. This just wasn't me. I just wasn't that type of a person. I don't want to hurt anybody. But I understand why people hurt people, because hurt people hurt people because they're hurting.
Yeah.
There's a problem here and no one is addressing it. So it makes you feel hopeless, helpless. And all of that rage you push out to other people. And the police department was a big gang. They had money because they pay you for being in a gang. They had cars. They had helicopters. They had big guns. They had tanks. They had all this stuff. That's a premium gang. So I thought in my mind, but even though I went to television, I ended up going to the police department and I had a different mindset. But still, as a child, I looked at it as a gang. Mm. Until I got in and then I saw other things. It was like, oh, that's different. But that's what got me into the police department, because for one, I thought it would be better to die on the street in battle than to die as an old age at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And I didn't think I was going to live that long anyway, because look how life has been treating me. So I ended up in the police department, immigrations, and then God moved me to the jails and the prisons. And that's when my ministry started. I had no idea that I was doing a ministry. All I knew was I was able to go into areas, even as a police officer, where people would come to me. They would find me. They'd rather get locked up by me than somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I had no idea why or what was going on. I just did what I was to do. But I still found a way to love up on people because I know what it's like being hurt, abandoned, abused. So I understood that.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Cece Owen. I hope you're getting a lot out of this. I mean, I am getting so inspired by her testimony and her story. I mean, she had it all stacked against her. You know, and she's been going through her story. She's been going through her testimony, the child abuse, the sexual abuse, being from a mixed race family and being bullied in school because she didn't look like the other kids. And the abuse made her run away. And then she lived out on the streets for years with the prostitutes taking care of her and protecting her from the pimps. Folks, hers is a story that should inspire you to go through whatever situation you find yourself in right now. Amen. Now be sure to come back for tomorrow's episode because we are only a portion of the way through this interview and you will want to hear what she has to say next. So till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.